Well, welcome into the Fan Pregame on a Friday night. Ailish and Justin for the next hour for you. We'll get you set for a couple things on the network. If you're looking for tonight's Blue Jays game against the Angels, because I know you will be, because they are red hot, that's an Apple TV exclusive, but you can listen to it here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on the Sportsnet Radio Network through the Sportsnet app, so you can still consume more Blue Jays baseball.
And we'll still pregame it because, of course, we will. And, if, you know, it's the best time to be pregaming Jays games because this might be, I don't want to say it's going to be the highlight of the season, but it's the highlight of the season to this point. Mm-hmm. Coming off a four-game sweep over the New York Yankees, Jamie Campbell whipping around the broom like it's all good times in Jays land right now.
Here's a shout-out to Michael Kay.
I don't know if I would say it's a shout-out.
Like,
it was a reference to.
I mean, he shouted him out without shouting him out.
I suppose so.
It was great. Yeah, it's been a great time to be down at the ballpark, of course, hosting the Angels tonight as well. It's a 7 p.m. start. We will talk to Chris LaRue, our 590 Blue Jays radio analyst, in a moment. At the second half of the show, we will talk to our best friend of the show, Laura Stacey, Montreal Victoire forward, gold medalist, Dartmouth Big Green alumni, who is in town for her Sticks in for Charity event, which is tomorrow. So we will talk to Laura about that, and I'm sure a lot more.
Have you decided, like, what your role is tomorrow with that?
Yes, I'm actually one of the pros.
Okay. So what does that mean?
I will have a team.
Like your own team?
Yes. So how it works is Laura's charity event is sixth annual now. Sticks in for Charity. All the kids, adults, whoever wants to participate, will put their sticks in the middle of a massive pile. And then the pros, and I am a pro, even though I'm not really a pro anymore, will get all these sticks handed to them. That's your team for the day.
Okay. Are you going to take it, like, super seriously?
My team has yet to advance past the, like, round robin.
Oh, wow.
So
you might
I'm
have to take it more
starting
seriously.
Starting to get a little rattled, okay? So this year might be my year.
Okay.
But I'm not in the, if there's a spectrum of, like, competitiveness, I am nowhere near Emma Malte.
Have to ask.
She is
she takes it
in her own world.
Okay.
I respect
How old
it,
are these
but
kids?
She's scary. Like, 8?
Oh.
8, 10, 12. It can get very competitive.
I bet it can.
And I'm mostly
with you and Emma there.
Have a good time. But no, I will be one of the pros at this event. And, you know, it's really great. Her goal is to raise $50,000 this year. So they're getting close. And it is the sixth annual year. We'll obviously talk about some of the PWHL expansion news and what's on the horizon for them. And then at the end of the show, we are going to try to kind of like do a little ranking between Justin and I. Today's the 4th of July. Which American athletes do you wish were Canadian for the next international competition? So you get to handpick an American, you get to place them in a Canadian jersey for the next international competition. If you have any thoughts, you can send us in 590-590, but we have picked our teams. We picked 5 athletes. We're going to see if there's any overlap of an American that you wish was Canadian for the next international competition.
Little hint from my findings, we don't really need them.
I know. I felt really proud of us when I was going through it.
Do I want that? No, I don't think
it
we
was
need
harder
that.
Than it seems. Our small and mighty
country.
We're
in a good spot right now.
Okay, let's bring in Chris LaRue, our Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Blue Jays radio analyst, who helps us tee up tonight's game, which you can listen to on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet app. Chris, how's it going?
Life is good. I mean, you can't ask for more here at the Rogers Center, that's for sure.
Where are the shades? I was anticipating sunglasses today. Yeah, there we go. That's more like it.
There we go.
You got, like, binoculars, too? What's the equipment situation up there?
Where are you looking right now?
At you.
Oh, binoculars?
Yeah.
I think Ben has binoculars. He's sitting right next to me. You want me to get those too?
No, we're good.
Maybe later in the interview.
Whatever.
Well, you deserve to be chilling like you are right now because the Blue Jays have been super fun to watch. What's the ballpark feel like when you're watching the Blue Jays, the stretch, this week in general? It must feel kind of like playoff baseball.
Well, as you can imagine, it's probably some of the best baseball I've seen. And I know that a lot of Blue Jays fans might not agree with me, but that home run by Aaron Judge to tie it the other day, I forget what game that was, actually. That was the third game. Sorry.
Third game.
Thanks,
yeah.
thanks, Ben.
Ben's like, let me get in.
That was one of the coolest.
It's been a week.
That was one of the coolest baseball moments I've seen as a broadcaster, just seeing arguably one of the best players of all time come up in such a big situation. The Blue Jays and John Schneider had been obviously pitching around him and and intentionally walking him for the majority of the season. They decide to pitch to him, and he goes yard and ties the ball game on a 460-foot home run. That was just some magical stuff. Obviously, the Blue Jays won that game, so we ended up with big smiles on our faces that night. But that is just some incredible baseball. Such a great moment, and I'm glad that it was a sold-out crowd to see that.
And probably glad, too, that the Blue Jays were able to complete the four-game sweep, and that's sort of giving the vibe, a different vibe at the ballpark, certainly different from when you were covering the team last year, because it looks like we're set up for something special, and part of the reason why we are set up for at least some special baseball or at least some exciting moments at the Dome down the stretch here over the last couple of months of the summer, well, George Springer's a big part of that. He's been, he's been more critical to success, certainly, than Aaron Judge was in that series. But I wonder for you, because you watched him last year during what was not a very good George Springer season, like, what is different? What strikes you? Because you see, you know, like, even before a player is going to start tearing the cover up the ball, you see positive things happening and could sort of predict, perhaps, when a player is going to break out. So what have you seen from George Springer this year that has been different than last year and has led to all the success?
Well, it has been pretty incredible. And I think from my point of view, the thing that I've noticed most about him is he's making good swing decisions up there. I think there was a lot of talk last year about the velocity of the swing. It was a little bit slower. He's aging. He's at the tail end of his career. Does he have the same pop? Does he have the same swing speed? And he might not. I don't know the exact specifics of that. He might not have the same swing speed, but he is on time. And I think that's the most important thing. He's making good swing decisions, and he's on time and really making good contact with the baseball. I mean, obviously, we've seen him over the last 3 or 4 weeks now, maybe going on over a month, where he is just consistently crushing baseballs. And there has to be something to that. And I think it was Addison Barger early on in the season. Somebody asked him, why is he having more success? What's the reason for that? And he kind of said it with a smirk on his face. He's just making better swing decisions. He's swinging at better pitches. And I think George Springer is in a similar group, where he's just swinging at good pitches. We see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. go through stretches where he's swinging at sliders off the plate, swinging at fastballs that he shouldn't be swinging at. But when he's on time, when he's making good decisions, he's one of the best in the business. And I think that George Springer is the exact same way. It's just pitching is so good now, and you have to give credit to the pitchers. Upper 90s fastballs, it's almost like every single pitch is a pitcher's best pitch with George Springer standing in the box right now, and he's still doing what he's doing. They know that he's hot. They know that he's one of the best right now in Major League Baseball, and he continues to crush baseballs. It's incredible to me. It's been so fun to watch. I'm so happy for him. Yes, you can talk about the fact that he's making money and he should be doing this, but baseball is a grind. Baseball is a struggle, especially when you hear the outside noise. And obviously, George heard that last year, and he really came ready this season to change minds. And he's done exactly that. It's just been so much fun to watch, and I'm so happy for him.
Is it as simple to say that, you know, having David Popkins, who comes in, helps kind of revitalize some of the offensive approach for some of these players? Because new hitting coach, we've seen a lot of improvement for a lot of these guys. And, like, I don't know, maybe it's just the off-season work, but maybe a new voice helps instill a little bit of a different confidence, like, in your conversations with those around, or even just listening to Hazel May on the field afterwards. They do mention David Popkins and his role. So should we be giving a little bit more credit to him?
I don't think you should be giving more credit to him. I think, I mean, you guys know that there's a million voices in the room at any given time, whether it's hockey, baseball, basketball, it doesn't matter. There's a million different voices. You have to take what you like and apply it to whatever position you play. Is everything he's saying accurate? Probably not. Maybe George Springer is taking tidbits here and there and applying that to, you know, certain situations. Do you have to give credit to him for coming in and making guys feel comfortable, making guys feel confident, all those things? Absolutely. I think that's probably the biggest thing a baseball coach can do, because baseball is so much different than any other sports. It's such a mental grind. There's so many little things that you can do every single day, and you're trying to figure out. I've been in hotel rooms where I'm staring at a mirror in the bathroom, you know, going over my pitching mechanics, and I'm sure that these guys are no different. There's just so much to think about, and there's so much negativity in a certain slump or situation you find yourself in. It's just so much different. So for a guy like Popkins to come in and just it's a different culture now, and I think that's probably the most important thing. It's just a positive, fun environment, and obviously you give credit to the coaches. Look, I'm not saying that they're doing nothing, but at the end of the day, it's George Springer standing in that batter's box. It's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. standing in that batter's box. Jeff Hoffman standing on that pitcher's mound. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting hearing experts and former players talk about David Popkins, because everyone wants to equate Popkins to these resurgences. And, like, I'm eager to do that, too, because I think of, like, oh, like, you got a good golf tip for your swing, and all of a sudden you're hitting it straight. Like, that seems like something that could be applied to hitting, and something I've never actually done at any remotely high level. So it just feels like, you know, everyone in your seat pushes back on that idea, and I find it interesting. And I don't know if we all are on the same page of why Popkins is having, or these guys are having these breakout seasons, or guys who weren't performing last year are performing now. But maybe we should just, I guess, enjoy it, and Popkins can enjoy his success.
Well, no, I'm not. And Justin, I'm not saying that he's done nothing and he shouldn't be applauded for all the work that he's put in and the ideas that have come forward from his brain. I'm just saying it's there's so many people in these guys' ears at any given time, and you have to kind of pick the information that you think is going to work for you. And obviously George Springer has done that.
He's grabbed a hold of the right thing. Addison Barger, too, would be a part of this, I guess, boost to the lineup that would be considered somewhat unexpected. And he's not like a unicorn or anything like that. Like Addison Barger, we've seen guys like Addison Barger before, but he's got a different offensive profile, I suppose, from what we've seen lately from the Blue Jays. So what's unique when you watch Addison Barger to Addison Barger? What makes him the special hitter that he is?
Oh, boy. There's just... First of all, I love the fact that he's kind of this wild child up there, and you see just this violent swing, whether it's a two-strike approach, whether it's 0-0. And like I said earlier, I think the biggest thing for him, and he said this earlier this season when asked, what's the difference? Why has there kind of been this success this season? And really a lack of success last season, and he really simplified it, and he just said, I'm taking tough pitches and I'm swinging at pitches I can hammer, and it's really that simple for Addison Barger. There hasn't been that much of a change in the swing. I think the biggest difference with Addison Barger is the approach, and he's taking tough pitches that he shouldn't be swinging at, changeups down in the zone, off speed pitches down below that strike zone, and swinging at pitches. Mistakes from pitchers. You've seen him hammer a lot of hanging changeups, a lot of four-seam fastballs down the middle. I think last year he was trying to do too much with those pitches, and he would pop them up. He would swing through them. This year he's just really simplified that approach. He's using the whole field, and it's just a lot like George Springer. It's so much fun to watch. I couldn't be happier for him. Obviously, coming up and struggling, you start to doubt yourself. You start to think, do I even belong in this league? Is this league too good for me? And the fact that he's kind of turned things around and become kind of a mini star for the Toronto Blue Jays is just so cool. And it really is simple. It's really just him making better decisions and swinging at better pitches.
We're chatting with Chris LaRue, Fan 590, Blue Jays radio analyst, where you can listen to tonight's game. It's an Apple TV exclusive, but you can listen to it on the Sportsnet app and Sportsnet Radio Network. You know, you've been watching this team all year. What is it that you think is the biggest glaring area that they could improve at the trade deadline? We're already starting to think, hey, we can add, like, this team, they're in first place. Like, you know, we're getting greedy here. You don't have to give me a player, but, like, a position that you really think that they could – and get some great adjustments for.
Well, World Series teams always have a good bullpen. Mm-hmm. I think that the most important part of a World Series team is a bullpen that just comes in and attacks guys. obviously the stuff matters, but a bullpen that comes in, attacks, throws strikes, and gets guys out late in ball games. I think the Blue Jays could probably use another good arm, preferably a left-handed arm out of that bullpen, a guy that John Schneider trusts, a guy with a track record. Aroldis Chapman comes to mind. I don't know if that's going to happen, but a guy like Aroldis Chapman would be obviously a huge addition to this ball club. And then you have to look at Dalton Varsho and Anthony Santander. When those guys come back, they're going to be huge additions to this lineup. I think that obviously Santander has gone through his struggles early this season, but I think that there's always struggle when a guy puts a lot of pressure on himself to succeed early on in a big contract like Anthony Santander signed in the offseason. And I think it kind of just snowballed on him. I feel for the guy. Obviously, I never signed a big contract like that, but I can only imagine the type of pressure that he put on himself. And then when things didn't go his way, it snowballed, and then it continued to snowball, and then you have the injury. So I think that when he comes back, hopefully he's just simplifying the game. And if he's even an average player with that type of power, I'm not talking about lighting the world on fire and hitting 45 home runs down the stretch. Just hitting a home run in a big situation. That's all the Blue Jays really need at this point. The team is very solidified. They have a kind of an idea of who they are, who does what in certain situations. So if Anthony Santander comes back and is an average player, Dalton Varsho comes back and is kind of the player that we expect him to be, I think this is a World Series caliber team, especially if they add a bullpen arm. And I know they will. I know that Ross Atkins is actively searching for pieces here and there. He's not a very open guy, and he won't tell you exactly what he's doing, but I know for certain that he's actively looking for a bullpen arm. He might even be looking for a starting pitcher, and then just sprinkle in a good bat, and this is a World Series caliber ball club.
Chris LaRue cutting some promos here for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Love to hear it. Eric Lauer gets the ball tonight against Kyle Hendricks, who is a Dartmouth alum, so a fan favorite of Ailish's.
Yes. I just don't know about his ability tonight, but go big green.
Go big green.
Make a mention of that if you can on the broadcast.
Is that there? Well, I know you went to Dartmouth. Actually, I forgot that he went to Dartmouth. I'm glad that you reminded me.
Oh, anytime.
Me of that.
You want to know who else? Ben Rice, who helped the Blue Jays win the other day.
You went to Dartmouth?
Yeah, you
sure
haven't been
did.
Listening to the show. Wow. We got all
baseball powerhouse.
You want to know who went to Dartmouth?
Yeah. You just listen to the Fan pregame. Eric Lauer, you mentioned pressure on Santander. How much pressure is on Eric Lauer right now? Because the deadline looms, right? This is a guy who's been, you know, I guess people have been expecting maybe the shoe to drop for him in terms of, like, are you going to be this successful all year long? Like, what's he thinking right now? What's going into an Eric Lauer start as we inch closer to Max Scherzer being fully back and potentially in addition, the bullpen solidifying itself? What do you think going through his head right now?
It's an interesting question. I think that, first of all, Eric Lauer has been around a long time. He has almost 700 innings in the big leagues. So I think that a lot of people forget that he's a veteran out there. He knows exactly what he's doing, and the ball's kind of in his court. If he has success this season, if he continues to throw the baseball well, John Schneider will continue to keep him in this starting rotation. I don't think there's much pressure on him. I think he's kind of established himself as a big leaguer once again, and his June was incredible. I know that he's been really good for the majority of this season, but his June was incredible. 3-0 with, I think, a 2.5 in five starts, I want to say, maybe four. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but
six appearances, 25 and a third innings, 2.49 ERA.
So yeah, there you go.
I think there was a relief appearance.
Maybe.
As well.
But it's just been. And a lot like George Springer. This is a guy that was in Korea last year, and he obviously was in Korea for a reason because he didn't get a big league job. And now he's back finding a way to be a productive member of a playoff caliber team. It's pretty awesome. I think the stuff plays. The stuff is better than even I thought it was. His fastball is up to 94, 95 miles an hour. I know he averages about 92, but I think it plays a little better than maybe the analytics. The pitchability that he has, which means He's able to throw off-speed pitches in fastball counts, fastballs in off-speed counts is just off the charts. He's such a cerebral guy. I know he didn't go to Dartmouth. I know he went to Kent State, but he's such a cerebral guy.
He can't be cerebral if he didn't go to Dartmouth.
Yeah. But it's the pitchability is just off the charts. And I don't think – sorry, I just had to mix that in there.
I think
– yeah, in answer to your question, I don't think there's any pressure on him, and I think that's what makes him so good, is he's not trying to do too much out there. He's not trying to prove people wrong. He's already proven people wrong. He's already proven people wrong coming back from Korea and having success and getting guys out, getting good big leaguers out, and being added officially to this starting rotation. And that's just another story, a lot like George Springer, a lot like Addison Barger. It's just a cool story that can – I mean, even Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement continues to surprise me every single day. And there's so many stories like that on this roster. And is the shoe going to drop? I don't think so, personally. You might think so, Justin, but I don't think so.
Love that. All right, Chris.
Set of mine.
We'll let you go, Brad Pitt.
Right,
enjoy enjoy
well,
the game.
Brad Pitt has a shaved head now. So,
oh, so who are we? You're not Tom Cruise.
I'm Chris LaRue. All right.
The one and only Chris LaRue. Thanks for joining us. And enjoy the game. That's Chris LaRue of our Sports at 590, the Family Blue Jays Radio. I didn't see Ben. I put my head down.
Ben snuck in there.
Ah, Benny boy. That was funny. Good text in saying that LaRue looks like he should be in a movie with Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt. So,
there
same vibes. Okay, let's do some best bets.
Lead the dance.
All right, we're going to do a look ahead at tonight. What have I been preaching here on the show? Jays, 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 Jays. So I'm going back to the well with the Jays. Now they're minus 140. All week this week against the Yankees, plus money. The books know. But I'm going to go minus 140 tonight. Lots of whys. Minus 140 tonight and over 9 because it has just been electric at the ballpark, and that would be a very nice night for all those in attendance. Those will be my best bets tonight.
Yeah, we probably should just, I mean, you kept it going with the in-game bets because Jays in the over has been was the nuts this week, but I'll go with the Blue Jays future. Not necessarily in the future streets in Major League Baseball as much as I am with other things, but I got to thank Blair and Barker for this one because they talked about it on my way in. John Schneider, AL Manager of the Year, is plus 750 right now. The price to win the division is plus 190. And not to say those things should be one-to-one, but if the Blue Jays win the AL East, should John Schneider not be AL Manager of the Year? Because that would be a major, major upset. Right now, A.J. Hinch, who's running the Tigers, of course, the Tigers are awesome, but they were expected to be awesome, or at least really, really good in the Central Division. He is a massive favorite, minus 850 at the moment. I think if the Blue Jays win the division at plus 190, John Schneider is going to be one of two options at plus 750 to win the award. And if you parlay that with the Florida Panthers, which is going to be a common refrain right now, 67-1.
I regret to tell you that I bet this at 25-1 before the season.
Did you? Yeah, you just talked about it before the season. There you
I
go.
I had him as my manager of the year.
Did you actually bet it this time,
yes,
though?
Yes. And I didn't parlay it with Florida.
Well.
But I did just bet it. It was 25-1. I think I brought it up in March. And I also had Bo Bichette, comeback player of the year. It's not looking as favorable. I mean, he could still have a comeback.
Unlikely.
But I was all over that. I'm happy with it. Right
how do you think Bo Bichette, by the way, feels? Like, I think he had one at bat in the four game sweep.
Is fun,
it like,
right?
It kind of sucks to miss out on the best part of the season so far?
Well, it can only get better.
We'll bounce back.
Speaking about fun,
can it get better?
I got to give a quick shout out before we take a break. Well, we're going to have Laura Stacey on the other side of the break. And there's a bunch of my friends watching right now that are in town, Dartmouth alum, who are watching, and they just got the audio made that they could hear at the bar that they're at. So I had to say hello to Vic, Len, Noah,
how'd they know about the Dartmouth?
Devin, Luke, sure, so, because they can see on my laptop, but they got the subtitles. So shout out to all of them in town going to the Blue Jays game, going to see Hendricks pitch.
Very cool.
Very
do they
sweet.
Know Hendricks? Do you know Hendricks?
No, we don't know him, but we just support him.
Oh, that's a road trip for a... Is it for Hendricks?
It's Emma's 30th birthday. They're here for that.
Happy birthday, Emma.
But you know what just happened to be in town? Like, it's kind of a big weekend.
Very fun. Are you
and
going
Laura's
to hang out with them
thing?
After?
Yes, I am.
There you go. Very cool.
They're waiting for me now.
Okay.
So we will see you guys soon.
Shout out, Emma.
We will take a quick break. Laura Stacey will join us on the other side. Montreal Victoire forward, Olympic gold medalist. guess what school she went to? I'm not going to stop saying that. But she's got her Sticks In for Charity 6th annual event tomorrow. I'll be looking forward to seeing the turnout. A great opportunity to raise some money for charity. And we'll talk to her a little bit about PWHL because it was a spicy couple weeks for the league. She was a protected player. Still stressful. I know that because I've asked her all about it.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Fan Pregame here on Sportsnet at Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Later on, if you're looking for the Blue Jays game, it's an Apple TV exclusive as they take on the Angels, but you can listen to it here on the Sportsnet Radio Network or the Sportsnet app, and you can hear Chris LaRue, who we just chatted with. If you're looking to watch some baseball on the network, it'll be Detroit and Cleveland at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet. The Calgary Stampede on Sportsnet 1 at 10:30. Let's go. And Sportsnet 360's got Houston and the Dodgers at 9. I want to get a Stampede guest on.
Have you ever been to the Stampede?
No, but, you know, last year it was on my birthday. Like, I guess. I really wanted to go, but went to Nashville instead. So similar.
Yeah, it is similar. I'm surprised you didn't stay Canadian.
It was also our bachelorette, so it was a lot going on.
Okay.
But no, I would love to go, and I know we have that, so I would put my hand up to go there and cover it for us. Fan pregame from the Stampede?
It's dangerous.
I think it could be
dangerous.
I'd be into it. All right. We have a little bit to go on our show before we wrap up the week. And what a better way than to talk to our friend, Laura Stacey, Montreal Victoire forward, Olympic gold medalist, Dartmouth Big Green alumni, and Sticks In for Charity 6th annual event tomorrow. Hi, Laura. How's it going?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Laura. We've been waiting to see you. How's it going?
I've been waiting to be on this show, you know, so I'm just excited to be here.
We can't afford you.
This isn't the first time.
Honestly, no, you've been on before.
Maybe this iteration?
Yeah, this iteration for sure, but I've been on before, yeah.
You see the jersey above Justin's head?
Yeah, I love it. It looks good.
See your signature on it? I brought that to the game.
You better take that home tonight or it might get snatched.
I can't leave it in the studio. Someone will take
it. It's always up there, right?
Yeah, yes, yes, always.
Permanent part of the...
Even during the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, so let's talk about... I got to see you on Breakfast Television today. Great work, as always. But I don't know if our audience has heard so much about the Sticks In for Charity event, which is happening tomorrow. So if you want to give us a little rundown for those that are new to the event, what is in store?
Yeah, so it's the 6th annual. It happens at Highgate Road and Kingsgrove in Etobicoke. It's kind of out in the neighborhood that my family is living in. So 6 years ago, we started it with the intention of like, okay, let's have fun, get outside, be active and see how many kids we can get involved on this street. And it's really blown up into something special and really big. And now we're able to raise funds and give back. And this is actually our first year that we're a foundation now. So we're able to take those funds and then distribute that those donations to people and charities that need it most. And all of that is in support of our mission, which is to help kids and individuals find a purpose / get outside, be active, and just enjoy sports and enjoy the community. So it's been amazing. I'm really excited about it. Tomorrow it's happening. It's open to everyone. Obviously, registration is full, but basically how it works is everybody throws their sticks in the middle when they show up in the morning, and then we make the team's day of, and everybody gets to play with anybody. So just like the good old days when we played in the streets.
Yeah, apparently including our own Ailish Forfar, who has not had success at the tournament in 5 years. Is like, I haven't seen it up close in personal. Laura, what's the reason for that?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not sure what it is. She just hasn't found that it factor on her team yet, but it's actually quite funny to see some of the pros, like some of the teams they're on are stacked and they're like so excited and so competitive to win. And then you have some who just have like young kids who are just so excited that they're with the pro. So honestly, Ailish has probably just been on those teams.
I'm just making dreams come true. It's not about winning. Emma Malte though thinks it's about winning.
Oh yeah, she's going hard for it tomorrow. I give her a lot of a tough time for it just because one of the years she was here, she was going hard and getting into refs' ears too. Yes. But honestly, it's just fun to see the different personalities come out, the competitive spirits and the teamwork, like playing with a whole new team, getting to meet new people in the community. You have a 45-year-old dad playing with a little 10-year-old girl and they're getting along and teaching each other things about hockey and life too. So I think that's what it's all about.
And you're expanding to Montreal this year, which is a first. And I obviously, like living in Montreal now and being part of the Victoire, I was curious to when that would happen. And this is the year that you're making that endeavor. Like, how much of a, I guess, a challenge, but an excitement is it to have this event twice in the same summer and in a spot that you haven't done it yet?
Yeah, obviously, I have a lot of help, a lot of great people in my corner who are helping do both. Honestly, this one is quite the animal in itself, especially how big it's been getting. But at the end of the day, I have an amazing volunteer team. It's grown like drastically. And now we have some help in Montreal who really want to help me put this together. And I think it's about that time. I've been in Montreal for quite a while now with the PWHL League, with our Victoire team. Mm-hmm. The support we have, the joy that they have towards women's hockey and women's sports is incredible. And so why not bring this dream or this tournament there and get to kind of spread that love and give back to the community that's helped me in Toronto, Etobicoke, the GTA, and now Montreal have had really big impacts on my life. So if I can give back a little to both those communities, I think that's a success.
And for those that want to still donate or be a part of the silent auction raffle, there's a way you can go to laurastacy7.ca. And a lot of your information is there to donate, even if you can't attend tomorrow. We're looking forward to your $50,000 goal this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing that number get closer and closer. And I know you'll get it. I want to ask you a little bit about Victoire as well, because, you know, I've talked a lot about that team on this show. They were my squad. And a great regular season, Laura. But things change in the playoffs. Like, how big of a beast are the PWHL playoffs? Because we haven't seen most teams that are supposed to win end up really winning. And I just want to know from the inside, like, how challenging having this four-team playoff and, you know, with some of these great teams ends up being for you.
Yeah, I think we've seen it both years. It's a different animal, the playoffs, at the end of the day. And you see it in the NHL. You're now seeing it in the PWHL. The parity in the league is incredible. And so at any moment, any team can win. We saw that all season long. Obviously, we were really happy with our regular season and finishing on top felt good. But at the end of the day, that's not the goal. That's not what we wanted. So there is some work to be done. I think finding a way to get it done in the playoffs is what great teams do. And we need to find a way to cross that line of how can we become a playoff ready, a playoff winning team. And obviously, we weren't there yet. It was disappointing because I did think that culture, that group that we had in the locker room was a special one that maybe could push for the cup, but you never know. Honestly, sports, hockey, it's not easy. And I think it takes a lot to become champions. And I think all of this is just that extra motivation to keep pushing for it, keep dreaming about it. We never had the chance to dream about winning a professional cup, winning the Walter Cup. Mm-hmm. And now we're here, and it's a very realistic dream, and we're going to chase it as much as we can.
Last few summers, Laura, have been pretty good for members of the PWHPA. This summer, a little bit different. And you mentioned the challenge of winning a championship. It's going to be different this year because more teams to go through. How would you describe, and it didn't affect you because you're protected, you're going to be with the Victoire, and that was the expectation, obviously. But, like, how do you describe the collective emotion of what has been an off season that no one really could prepare for, if that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it was in terms of just being an off season with so many unknowns, an off season that was full of emotions. There were so many positive ones. Wow, our league is already at the point where we can expand. Wow, we're going to Seattle and Vancouver, which are two incredible cities. So there was a lot of positive emotions, but obviously with that, there's the unknowns, the scary fact that our team is changing, the fact that people have to kind of uproot their lives, their contracts were changed. All of those different things are not always easy on players and on teams, just even with the Victoire. Like, we're going to have naturally a very different team this year. And we knew that going into playoffs, we knew this is kind of the last opportunity we're going to have with this team. And that generally happens every year. But I think with an expansion of this magnitude and an expansion to two teams out west, that obviously is amplified too. So I think it was just full of emotions. And once you kind of zoom out, once you realize, like, okay, we're going to lose players. Those players are going to move. Once you zoom out a little, it's a little bit easier to see that perspective of, like, okay, now young girls in both of those two new cities have the chance to dream. When I was growing up in Toronto, I didn't see it. So now those girls in Vancouver, Seattle can go show up to Climate Pledge Arena and the Pacific Coliseum and watch the hockey happen in their city. So I think there are a lot of pros, but when you're in it, when you're a player, when you're seeing your teammates get traded, expanded, all of those things, it is hard to take. But at the end of the day, we started this league to try and leave a legacy. We started this league to hopefully have a viable, sustainable league for forever. And this is just another step in that of pushing women's hockey and our sport even further.
Yeah, I think the turnover is going to be really interesting for, like, the original six teams. And you, as someone that's, like, a leader on your team and part of the leadership squad, like, I wonder about the difficulty that it might feel to be almost recreating that. You talked about that dynamic, that leadership quality that this team had. You've got a lot of turnover. Like, what are the plans for you guys this offseason going into the next year with a bunch of new faces? Like, the turnover is crazy. So what do you guys have planned? Like, what kind of challenges do you think that'll kind of bring up for your squad?
Yeah, I think there's a ton of challenges, of course. I think we do have to kind of start that over in a sense of, like, okay, we have a new, brand new group. Obviously, there's some returning. Obviously, there's still a core and some veteran leadership, and our staff and our GM and coaches are the same. So that really helps that leadership from above and the staff is all still there. But you're right. I think obviously our team and our organization has always been like, everybody has a big piece of it. Everybody has an impact. Everybody has a say. So as soon as you have that much turnover and transition, a lot of new voices need to be heard. A lot of new opinions need to be brought to the table. So I think that'll be our first step, is just meeting everybody, getting to know each other, on a bit of a deeper level, because we're going to have to go to battle for one another. So spending some quality time as teammates, but also getting to know them as friends, because we are going to be spending a lot of time over the season. So I think for us as players, that's our first order of business, welcoming the new players to the city, obviously saying bye to some great people and great teammates that we had. But how can we find a way to get those players on board and feel like they have an impact, feel like they have a voice and a say immediately? Because if you feel valued, if you feel like you have a part of that team, you're going to do more for it and have more value and more impact. So I think for us as people and as leaders, it's like, how quick can we welcome these players and not only become teammates, but also become friends and family?
So foundation currently this summer, getting to know some new teammates and getting ready for the season. And oh yeah, it's a big international season with the Olympics coming. We talked about this a couple, you know, the lead up to really the P-Dub getting off and running, juggling both things at once. For you, has that become second nature, you know, playing for both the Victoire and also donning Team Canada colors in big tournaments and big competitions, and of course that big rivalry with the United States all throughout?
Yeah, I think it never gets easier, and it never gets unappreciated in a sense. I think we're always just so grateful and so excited to get the opportunity to play for our country. I think when you get that call, when you get that message that you're going to a tournament, a rivalry series, a world championship, whatever it is, I think all of us get butterflies. Like, it was our first call ever from the national team. So I think we still feel that even with this PWHL and with this league. I think that feeling you get putting on that jersey never disappears. But with that being said, you're right. There are a lot more things to navigate. And now we're playing with some of our teammates and against them. So we play against our Canadian teammates on the Scepters and on Ottawa and all over the league. And then all of a sudden you're now teammates with them. So there has been a big learning curve, to be completely honest with you, of like, how do you go to battle one night and then become teammates or play with them the next? So I think there's still stuff that we can improve on and work together, because we are only new to this professional league. It's only been 2 years. And so I think there is still a little bit of that learning curve to go. But honestly, when you put that jersey on, whether it's playing for the Victoire or playing for the national team, I think all of us are just so competitive and want it so badly that you're going to be playing with your whole heart and putting it on the line for that jersey that you're representing. So it obviously is a really big summer with a lot happening and a really big season next year. But I think it just fills everybody with a lot of excitement. It's what we all dreamed about playing in.
And I think the Olympics this year will have a lot more eyeballs. Obviously, the NHLers back in it, like, you guys have been there, so nothing changes for you. But I wonder if the excitement of, you know, wearing a Team Canada jersey and knowing that Sidney Crosby is also going to be there and Connor McDavid, and like having that camaraderie that maybe you haven't had in previous Olympics, it brings a lot more attention to the international game. And I wonder how much you guys have thought about that.
Yeah, of course. I think at the Olympics, you want it to be the pinnacle. You want it to be the best on best at all times. And I think just seeing those names, even getting to watch the Four Nations this yeah. Like, that hockey is the best hockey in the entire world. And that's how we feel about our Olympic tournament. So I think it brings us a ton of excitement. I think just as Canadians in general, getting to see a team like that, I don't know how you would ever pick that roster, in my opinion. But 100%, I think as athletes, you want to see the best players going against the best players at all times. And to have that in men's hockey is really exciting.
Okay, Laura, I know you've got lots of work to do tonight, so we'll let you get back to it. I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning, and looking forward to another great Sticks In for Charity.
Maybe that's the reason. It's early wake-up call. Maybe that's why you're struggling out there.
It is kind of early, and our pros get there and socialize for a while. So
sign some autographs.
Not a morning person.
Well, thanks for coming on, Laura. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
That's Laura Stacey, Montreal Victoire forward.
Sounds Canadian like a future P-Dub. I don't want to say commissioner because I don't want to take anyone's job. But sounds like she's get her seat at the table.
Okay.
No?
We'll make it happen for sure.
Well.
If you're looking to donate or help out Laura's foundation, laurastacey7.ca, even if you can't attend tomorrow's Sticks In for Charity, there's ways to donate. There's amazing silent auction items as well. Something that, you know, Laura's got some signed jersey. She's got a meet and greet experience you can go to.
Ooh.
Lots of very cool things there. For all, there's signed hockey sticks. Wow, there's actually quite a few things I'm shopping right now on my computer. Anywho, there's, like, look at this. 2025 Team Canada women's hockey jersey. Full team signed it.
You better make space in the closet. You'll be coming home with something.
I might be. Anyway, if you're there tomorrow, also it's going to be a heat warning, so beware. Huh? Okay, we'll pivot from our Canadian Olympian to talk about Americans that we might want to possibly represent.
That's a tough pivot, but we're going
to
do it.
We're going to do it. So today is the 4th of July, obviously, and I'm trying to think of some sort of way to talk about America. And I thought we could do a fun little experiment where if we could take one American player and put them in a Team Canada jersey for the next international competition, who would it be? And I think in our little brainstorming process, I was like, I kind of love all our Canadian teams, but there's little areas of improvement.
Yeah, I mean, we're not perfect.
There's some good Americans out there.
We're definitely not
perfect
with our international teams. And our international teams, like, there are many, but, like, the ones that I guess we had most circled, like, at least for me, hockey, basketball, soccer, would be, I guess, the top three. But, yeah, when you look at all three of those teams on the men's and women's side, it's like we don't need much to compete and maybe – you know, we can improve in some areas, but it doesn't feel like it's as desperate as it was 20 years ago if we were doing this exercise.
I think the Americans would want a lot of our Canadians.
I think so.
That was an easier thing.
You can run those down right now if you want to.
Like, you want Shea? Side. Sure. You want MPP? I bet you do.
Laura?
You want McDavid? Great.
Laura?
Of course. Well, Laura's not, I'm not even putting her out there.
Okay. McDavid,
Davies?
He'd be the best player
Summer
on the American
McIntosh,
team.
Summer McIntosh, you want to try to take her from us?
Do you want a star in Los Angeles? Because Summer's going to be that star.
Sidney Crosby, ever heard of him?
They don't have a Sidney Crosby.
So we tried our best to take a couple Americans, and we are going to do that. Why don't you go first?
Okay, where do you want me to start? 5-1?
So let's go from 5-1, and it is American athletes that you would want to put in a Canadian jersey for their next international competition.
Okay, and again, I took it as, okay, we're going to benefit the national teams. And again, the teams, hockey, basketball, soccer, is sort of where I'm at. So it's been a little dark for the Canadian women's national team, soccer team, in terms of the goal scoring department since Christine Sinclair hung them up. So if I was going to take anything from a soccer standpoint, I think I would try to benefit our Canadian women's soccer team. Because guess what? Christian Pulisic, no, I don't care. Weston McKinney, no,
he's
I don't
on my
care.
List.
I don't want a, I don't
list.
Want a single American soccer player. I will go instead with Sophia Smith, who is, you know, one of the best five players in the world, an American, a striker, a forward, someone who's going to score some goals. It's exactly what Team Canada needs. So I'm going to grab some high end talent from the soccer world. It will not be a man. It will be Sophia Smith because she could definitely replace some of the scoring loss with Christine Sinclair.
Is that your number five?
Sophia Smith is my number five.
Keep going.
Oh, I'm going right through. Okay.
Well, I think you have to go first.
Number four, Anthony Davis. Canadian basketball is in a great spot. We don't need much. We have guards galore. We don't really have that many bigs. I guess Zach Edey would be our number one guy. Dwight Powell, Ken Birch. We could definitely get a little bigger. But, you know, look at who we have. Shea, Dort, RJ, Jamal Murray, Dylan Brooks, Andrew Nembhard. Got a lot of guys who play, you know, one through four. We don't have many bigs. It's Anthony Davis. Like, am I dying to have Anthony Davis? Not really. Am I dying to have Bam Adebayo? Not really. But we could definitely take a big from the Americans. And if we put Anthony Davis on a starting five that includes Shea Dort, Jamal Murray, and RJ Barrett, we're going to be looking really good and competing for a medal. I'll go quickly. Number two and number three, we need goalies on the men's national team for hockey. So I'm going to take a prospect and a guy who's probably going to be in there for Milan if this you know, hypothetical world existed, Jake Oettinger will be the guy. But I want a project. Dustin Wolf is my number three. Dustin Wolf is going to come in and split duties with Jordan Binnington. And number one, let's save it because we got the same number one.
Okay, we have the same number one. All right, I have some thoughts on your list, but let me go through mine. I thought of places where we really need the most help.
Okay.
So I didn't touch hockey because I believe in both our teams. They don't need nothing, all right? What we do need is someone to captain our flag football team at the Olympics.
Oh, boy.
And that will be Josh Allen. We will put the face into Canada. He will drive us to potentially a medal, but USA is going to be stacked. But I'd like Josh Allen. Next, I would also like the best golfer in the world to represent Canada at the President's Cup. So I would like Scottie Scheffler to then be Canadian for the weekend.
Okay.
So far, so good. And I will take Christian Pulisic. Thank you.
Because, have fun. Enjoy Christian Pulisic.
You know why? Because we are hosting a World Cup.
We don't need him.
We are hosting, we're hosting a World Cup. The Olympics are coming, and Canada does need something. And I talked to our soccer experts, who are the two boys, our David Sis and Andrew Holland, and they said that he was probably the best bet. Because I'm not too, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm the biggest soccer
nerd. I'm not impressed, David Sis.
Okay, well, they said that that was a better pick than yours. I will then move to basketball because the Canadian basketball team could really use someone like Steph Curry. So I'm going to have Steph Curry as my second best pick or second top pick to be on the team. It's going to be in L.A., bring a little Steph Curry in there. It's going to be good. And for number one, I think we have the same one.
Okay. Yes, we do.
And it is Caitlin Clark. There is no different answer than Caitlin Clark because the Canadian women's basketball team needs a star like Caitlin Clark. If you could put her in a Canadian jersey, it would be perfection, and that is my first pick, and it is your first pick.
Yeah, she's different for me because I just think it would be cool if she was Canadian. Like, no, it wasn't really about, like, hey, help our national team, and she would, certainly. And our guy, Andrew Holland, made a good point. Like, everyone would hate her even more. And again, I don't really want to necessarily feed that narrative, but, like, the people that don't like Caitlin Clark, if she was Canadian, I'm sure it would be even louder because they would have less reason to like Caitlin Clark. So it would just be cool if she was on our side in every way possible. Maybe a member of the Tempo.
That'd be sick.
A couple years after she's done winning titles potentially with the Indiana Fever. So, yeah, Caitlin Clark, I think she's like has the most scope to build and create and take a sport to the next level. Yep. So she is, I think, the most influential athlete maybe in North America right now in terms of what she can potentially accomplish in her career.
Wow. There it is. I had a couple random ones as well. If I were to pick a hockey player, I put Connor Hellebuck down, but I was like, maybe I'd take someone like Slavin or Werenski or someone. I didn't want to take a Kachuk. I didn't want to take
we don't need
Eichel. I don't need him.
Well, we need goalies.
Yeah, so I would say Connor Hellebuck, I guess. But I wanted to add these two as honorable mentions because for sure having Aaron Judge or Paul Skeens on our Canadian baseball team would be huge, but like we're not even in like the sphere of being close to being like – you know, so I was focusing my attention on things.
And we kind of already got that, like, hypothetical situation with Freddie Freeman. Like,
yeah, that's it.
We kind of did this in real life.
Honorable mention, but, you know, I'm not, you know, sorry to the Canadian baseball. Like, we got a little stronger before I put Paul Skeens and Aaron Judge in there. Any other honorable mentions? Oh, Joey Chestnut, of course. He was Canadian.
Yeah, I had to do that.
Nelly Korda, if she was a Canadian golfer, it'd be sweet. Chloe Kim, snowboarding was one of mine. As the Winter Olympics approach, she's like a superstar.
Okay.
Yeah, those were my...
So the moral of the story is we don't need them.
We don't need them. It was just, it was a nice reflection upon how great our Canadian athletes are.
And a different way to look at things. Interesting, the Josh, like I was thinking about football too. And I just think, again, it would be like the Caitlin Clark thing where it would just be cool if Josh Allen was Canadian.
I agree.
Played for the Bills. Like imagine if
that would be sick.
Canadian quarterback was like legit.
Would be a dream.
As he is and played for the Bills. I think it would be the coolest thing ever. But like Josh Allen is still pretty cool. And I think honorary Canadian. Could have been a Blue Jays jersey.
And I picked that one because we're going to have the first ever flag football at the Olympics coming up. And I was like, you know what? Why Canada? I don't really know what our squad's looking like. It's not going to look like America. So we'll take Josh Allen.
Yeah. I didn't go that route because I'm like fundamentally against flag football at the Olympics.
Me too. I don't think it should be in there, but like, if we're going to go in there, give me Josh Allen.
NBC just really wants its number one product, that being the NFL, to, you know, collab with its other best product, which is the Olympics. It's a little contrived to me, but I digress.
Anywho, that was fun. Well, we'll say goodbye for the weekend. Everybody enjoy some Blue Jays baseball here on the radio on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. It's the Angels in town to face the red hot Blue Jays, and you can
hope you can
here.
Find it in your heart to cheer on Kyle Hendricks a little bit.
Yeah, I hope he gets like two strikeouts, and then.
Well, you did pick the over, crush. So that's not going to work.
I know. If you're looking for the game, it is on Apple TV, but you can listen to it free across the Sportsnet Radio Network and the Sportsnet app. Everybody else, enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you Monday.